Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Guys, you ever out on the trail and you're like, man, I could use one of those boost gels, one of those little packs just to zip in my mouth and get some energy going. But you know what? I don't like the regular ones. I don't like all that junk. I need like a vegan one. You know, I want like a vegan boost gel. Well, now you can have it, all you veganators. It's called Toe Jam. Packaged on a vegan chocolate toe because they know what you're going to like. You know what? You may hate the meat, but that's no reason to hate the feet. Hello, we have returned for season 5. This is Derek, and with me today is the only man who really leaves no trace. He'll even scoop up his own dirt with the pee in it, bag it, and tag it, and take it out of the park. Carl Mandrioli, season 5, season opener.
Season 5. Yes. Season 5, yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah, welcome, my friend. With me today is Derek Somerville, the only man that fully packs his gear, buys his plane ticket, and is ready to go without really knowing which state the trip is in. That really happened. That genuinely happened.
Without knowing which state the trip's in?
Yeah, that happened this last summer. You didn't end up making the trip this past summer.
No, I know. Wow.
Yeah, but you thought we were going to drive through Wyoming to go somewhere else. You didn't realize the trip was actually in Wyoming.
Well, because I was going to fly to Wyoming, and then I remember there was a big, long drive, and I thought we were going out.
Right,
but
right.
No, I realized we weren't. So.
Yeah.
Hilarious. That's your opening. You're starting the season with that.
Those are the types of friends that I have. People that are so engaged in the trip, they're like, I don't even know where the Wind River Range is.
Mm, yeah. You know,
and that's what you want, right?
Did you watch the movie before you went on the trail?
The documentary of our trip?
No, there's like Wind River the movie.
Okay.
There's the documentary. There's all kinds of things you can do.
Wouldn't you be more impressed if I watched the documentary of our trip before it actually happened?
That would be a little ridiculous and impossible. Yeah. So,
speaking of that, that's out right now. It's linked in our show notes.
We have released our
ode to the overpacked, and definitely worth the watch, in my opinion. So,
that was great. That was great.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate that. So, season 5, man, we made it.
Does this mean we're big time? Is that what that means?
No, not even close to that. But it's just, you know, we were doubting whether we were going to make season 3. So,
I know.
So happy to be back. Happy to start another season with you.
Likewise.
Got lots of plans for some big episodes coming up. This is the podcast where hopefully you learn a little, laugh a little. Maybe not in that order. So we'll find out. What's today's episode about?
Today we're going to be talking about overpacking. We have a special little sound clip from our one and only Rockford, Rocky. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear from him later. But it's all about the overpacking, hoarding, and whatnot.
Yeah, it's not just overpacking. We're talking about
extreme things we despise, but things that still happen.
Which is to the point where it causes issues. And yeah, we actually got a few sound clips from Rocky. We got a lot to hear from Rocky. We got his side of the story here because he inspired this episode. His 70-pound pack fiasco inspired this episode.
Ridiculous. So this is not out of the norm for him, though.
The pack weight's not. The effects are out of the norm.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
Is that fair? Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to hear from him, and we'll respond. But, yeah, we're going to tie it in with trying to come up with some helpful tips to how to avoid some backpack hoarding in the future. I think there's definitely some root causes to these things, and we will get to all that, correct?
Yes, we will. Yes, okay. We will.
Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty.
Ooh, haste does lead to poverty.
Is haste the main issue of backpack hoarding?
I'm going to say yes. That could be a main component.
Right.
If you're rushed, if you're not organizing yourself and your time wisely, then you're going to feel like I just need to throw it all in there. Otherwise, I may not, have something I need. So
people that are in a hurry tend to forget things. So what's crazy about the situation is that haste can lead to extreme overpacking and forgetting things at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So let's set the stage here for what's going on. We're talking about the trip that has been referenced a couple times that happened in early July in Yosemite. You didn't make this one. It was me,
no.
Rocky, another gentleman named Zach. It was his, I think it was technically his first backpacking trip. This is the one that was like 100 degrees every single
yep.
day.
Ugh.
We're doing, you know, for us, high miles, 15 miles a day. So we kind of recounted that a couple episodes ago. But yep. that was more from my perspective. I've got a couple of things that I didn't share, but this is now we're going to be kind of talking about from Rocky's perspective. So I show up, I meet him and Zach at the park, and we do the pack weigh-in, and his pack yep. was 70 plus pounds.
70? Like, do you want to throw up at that point? Or like, I mean,
well, how do you respond?
Let's open this pack, dump it out, and go through it. Because like that's 70 pounds. Are you kidding me? We talk about this all the time.
Yeah, but we know Rocky. He's done this before, so, and we know he's a super strong
with
guy.
70 pounds.
You really are going to challenge him on this, really?
Would you? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would, but I just know 70 pounds is absurd, okay. and it's gonna come
yeah.
out. Because, look, maybe like 6-7 years ago, I'm not going to challenge him at all because he can do that. But then as soon as he left the chair at the end of the trail, I was like, things are changing. You know, there's a changing of the guard. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I might say something. Like maybe
just, you know, that was 6 years ago. So
oh, was it 6 years ago?
Yeah.
So maybe 7. Okay. But yeah, I think, you know, you're gonna I mean, it's 70 pounds, like Brock, let's just go through it. I'm sure there's something you don't need, dude. Like, let's just save you some weight. I think you'd be on board with that.
Rocky overpacked on a trip and it was more than 7 years ago, and he legitimately slowed me down on the trail.
Yeah.
That happened once in multiple decades of backpacking.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm not, at this point, I'm not concerned.
Okay.
I know that we're going to have the hot temperatures, but
okay.
if anybody's going to do it and have a smile on his face, it's going to be Rocky. So
that's true. That
yeah.
is true.
So I'm not digging his pack. Now, if this were somebody else, that's a different
okay.
story. But at this point,
yeah.
Call me ignorant, but we're going, man. We're going.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's see what happens.
So that's kind of the stage. And so we set off and we're at a trailhead. Actually, I got a side note on the trailhead. So Yosemite had closed down all of their campgrounds, and the trailhead we were planning to start from was at a campground. And so when I went
yeah.
up and picked up the permit, I met up with Ranger Emily, and
okay.
I was with another guy who was leaving from the same trailhead. And she had no information about the fact that these campgrounds were closed, and you had to like hike in past a gate on the road to get to the trailhead.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I'm not blaming Ranger Emily, but the fact that all these campgrounds were closed for like the duration of the summer, and she didn't know that trailhead was closed.
That's crazy.
That's a systemic problem right there, my friend.
Yeah, that's communication.
Yeah, how do you not know that? That's, I don't know. Yeah. So,
it seems like a big primary issue.
That added some... We just went to a different trailhead, but that added some miles to other people's trips, just saying. So,
for sure it did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Okay, so here we go. So I kind of did like a remote interview with Rocky where I just asked him to respond to various questions so that we could kind of talk about it. How does this happen? You know, hopefully people have takeaways for how to avoid the hoarding. And so first question was like, how was the trip for him? So here's what he had to say.
Giving it up to the B&B. Most of all to the Lord Jesus. How's everybody doing? This is Rock. So, Yosemite this year. Yosemite was awesome. I got my tail kicked by that place, by the elevation to the Grand Canyon of Tuolumne, though the sights were absolutely outstanding. I have never in my life ever wanted to just take my backpack off, like after a mile and a half or two, like some people in our normal backpacking group do. But this year, not only did I take my backpack off, I actually ripped it off with a vengeance and threw it on the ground in disgust. I have never felt like that. Yosemite, I finished, but you definitely won.
All right. Well, yeah, I think I'm glad that he did that. I mean, I'm a little shocked that he, you know, of all people, threw down his pack in disgust. You know, what does that say, Rocky? What are you trying... I want you to look inward on that. I want you to look at why you, after like a million years of backpacking, would throw it down in disgust.
He's not the first person to struggle on the trail. He doesn't typically struggle, but
no,
my bigger question is how often do people have backpack anger like that?
Well, I don't know. Not many. I mean, like he said, we have people in our group that take their packs off after a mile and a half or two, which, you know, I'm podcasting with one of those right now. But he, you know, angry, though. I don't know. It's surprising to see him angry. Like, usually you don't ever really see him take it off until we're all at camp, right? He's like a machine, basically. So,
Again, the greater issue here, though, I think of the book Walk in the Woods, where one of the dudes like got so mad that he started chucking stuff into the forest. And so I think this actually happens more often than you think.
Maybe. Definitely could.
Yeah. So you invite somebody on a trip, you make it sound all nice and glorious, and then it ends up being harder than you think and or harder than they can handle or whatever. So I think this is actually relatively common. Maybe not for our group necessarily, but yeah. So backpack anger, just something to watch out for.
Backpack anger. Is it kind of like road rage?
Trail rage.
Trail rage.
Trail rage, yeah. So watch out for that,
write
too.
Write that down, yeah.
Okay. All right, so here's kind of the crux of it. I asked him, how does a person get a 70-pound pack? Like, it sounds like you got to try to do that, but here's what he had to say.
So how did my pack get to 70 pounds in Yosemite? Well, here's how. I got a new coaching job at Dana Hills. All of a sudden at Dana, I'm the head coach of the Frosh Soft team. I'm coaching the Frosh Soft offensive line, and I'm coaching varsity receivers on top of that. So that's really how my pack got to 70 pounds. Now, what is that? What do you mean? Well, during the summer, instead of working three and a half hours a day, okay, it was more like 7 to 8 hours plus the kids' sports and stuff like that. So we were going to leave at 12:30, you know, in the morning, and I started packing at 11:48 p.m., so 42 minutes to pack everything. So there was a bunch of stuff. I'm like, do I need that? You know what? Throw it in. Do I need it? Yeah, throw it in. How about a chair? Oh, yeah, let's just throw that one on. I weighed the chair the other day. It weighed 6 pounds. That's a tenth of the way there almost. The rest is history.
Okay, so what's your thought on his line of reasoning here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that surprised, though, because he said he started packing it at 11:48. He added a 6-pound chair, which... What? I think after all this time, don't you have a lightweight chair you can just like quickly grab and throw in your pack?
There is a story behind that. I'll get that in a second.
Can't wait. and then the big one said, you know, he's like, I slept 4 hours in a 60-hour window.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's like out of it probably a little bit, right? And then you're just like, oh my gosh, I have something to do at 12:30 or whatever it was. I got to just throw everything I can in this pack and go. So... That makes sense. Like, I'm not surprised he's got a 70-pound pack.
If I just grab all my gear and just dump it in my pack, it doesn't equal 70 pounds, though, right? So, there.
But he overpacks food.
I don't think the whole story is being shared here is what I'm trying to say.
Probably not. Yeah.
The food's a big one for sure. Okay, I'll give you the story in the chair real quick. So he does have a lighter weight chair that was in the garage somewhere, and I think somebody in his house will end up throwing it out, not thinking it was like one of his backpacking pieces. Ooh. And you could blame the person that threw it out. That could be an issue. But I think that this has to do with organization, keeping all your gear together so that it's more efficient to pack, whether that's a bin or a rack or something. Like, that's that's a suggestion I have, not just for Rocky, but for everybody out there. So that way you can kind of just go through it. But,
yeah,
like you're saying, the time doesn't quite add up here. The math doesn't quite work here. So if you're working a normal day, you've got some coaching, you've got the kids, like throughout a week or on a weekend, like there's still plenty of time. But I think the big issue, aside from organization, was it sounds like the gear list was entirely ignored.
That's a valid point. The gear list was ignored. B, Rock, I know you eat spaghetti and I know you watch football. So my question is, why can't you get all your gear, put it out on the floor, go through it with your backpack while you're watching the game, eating your spaghetti? Halftime is a great time to check that gear list and double check everything. I mean, I don't see the problem here.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a win-win in every way. Yeah. You know,
the way that Rocky describes his life, he loves football, but I don't think he's watching a whole lot of it at this point. So he's
Well,
good thought though. Good thought. So I'm going to tell you a couple things that added to his weight. So you mentioned the food. So he'll buy a package of food. And rather than portioning it out into an appropriate amount, he just throws the entire package in. So an example of that would be almost 2 pounds of dried mangoes. He just threw the entire package in. Okay?
Yeah, that makes sense.
2 pounds right there. Another thing, too, is just the whole time issue. So he typically takes these, like, Arizona iced tea bottles. Like, he'll drink the iced tea on the trail, and then he'll, you know, filter the water. So he asked somebody else to get him some Arizona iced tea. I don't know if he specified the bottles. It doesn't matter. Cans were purchased. Okay. So in haste, the cans go into the backpack.
Oh man, this is great.
Okay, so at this point, like that's just, you could stop at a gas station on the way up to Yosemite and grab some. They have gas stations right there. That's just like
they got them everywhere.
I'm just not gonna care. I'm just gonna chuck them in the backpack. And obviously the cans can't be refilled and they're just dead weight in the pack even after you drink through them, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just stuff like that.
Yeah, can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sheer negligence. I think he would agree with that.
Did he bring the block of cheese?
Ah, that's a great question.
Did he have time to get the block of cheese? Because if he did, he had time to get those Arizona
I don't think
cheese.
According to him, he didn't have to do anything. He was asking for help and we ask for help and you're asking from a non backpacker, you're not gonna typically get what you want, right? Okay.
No, probably not.
All right. So there's more to that, and we'll get to that after we kind of wrap up these segments with Rocky. But I asked him what was the hardest part of the trip for him.
So, everybody, B&B, the hardest part of Yosemite was the second day. Now, I actually would have thought it would have been the first day, but the first day we had a lot of downhill. So momentum kind of saved the day, won the day for me that day. But the second day when we had a ton of uphill, I was still going on not much sleep. So two nights before the trip, I'd only slept about 2.5 hours. The night before the trip, I didn't sleep at all. And then when we were driving up, I slept for about 1.5 hours. So I got about 4 hours of sleep in probably about a 60-hour period. And it really caught up to me. So that second day on the uphill with not much sleep under my belt, even though I did get that nice 10 or 11 hours sleep the night before, really took a toll. And my shoulders were, I have to say, they were killing me. Okay, don't make fun of Carl's shoulders anymore, Derek. Make fun of mine.
You know, I know he says, like, hey, don't bug Carl about the shoulders.
Right.
You can bug me about the shoulders. Yeah, I don't look at it that way. I look at it as, you know, I look at it now, Rock, as you know, come into the fold of the shoulder pain club.
Oh, goodness.
You know, and now it's like you have a partner with shoulder pain, and you guys can, you know, console each other and whatnot. I just... Shoulder pain. I don't know what you thought was going to happen with a 70-pound pack and 2 bags of 2-pound nuts or whatever you had over there, but it's going to...
We literally just talked about it.
Apricots.
Mango.
Mangoes. Mango. Apricots. Mangoes. You know, and a 6-pound chair. It's going to happen. So I don't think... I honestly think in the future, though, he won't have shoulder problems. I don't think he will, but I think because this trip was so in haste, as we were talking about, and so disorganized, it created extra problems,
right.
as we've talked about in previous episodes. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you feel like, you know, me not complaining about shoulder problems for 12 years in a row now, you feel like I'm still part of that fold, but he'll probably be able to graduate.
Well, I disagree with the 12 years of not complaining.
No, it's legit. I complained one time, you made fun of me, and so whether I had shoulder issues or not, I have not brought it up since.
Well, I think I can see it on your face on the trail, though, whereas Rocky's literally just like jogging down the trail sometimes with a 60-pound pack. So,
okay,
it's different. You know what I mean? It's different. Tomato, tomato. But
let me tell you my perspective on, I think, what he described as the hardest part of the trail, and I want to know how you would handle this. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So we're climbing up this never-ending hill in the sun.
Ugh.
And I get ahead of everybody, but I don't want to get too far ahead because I'm concerned about everybody's health and well-being. So I stop, put my pack down.
Wait. Is this a humble brag right here? Is that what this is? I didn't want to get too far ahead of everybody. I put my pack down.
Yeah.
I took a long break. Okay, to make sure.
It is, yeah. Go. I was like running. I was
crushing
up the hill.
You're crushing
it. I already described this as my death march, so I'm already telling you that I'm suffering.
Okay.
I just happen to be suffering less than the other guys, partially because my pack was lighter weight. But
anyway,
I'm still suffering, so I put the pack down. And the suffering is part of the story, by the way. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. Zach catches up with me. I just tell him, you know what, just go ahead. Keep going. Like, let's try to get to, you know, our camp spot for the night or whatever.
Right.
So I'm just going to wait for Rocky. So I'm waiting.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting some more.
Right.
Okay, we're on a hill, man. So pack's down. I waited at least 20 minutes, probably 30.
Wow.
What do you do?
Wow.
You don't, like, if I'm going to go find him, I got to go hike back down the hill.
Yeah.
I'm already wiped out.
You're
wiped
out.
It's in the sun.
Right.
What do you do?
That's a hard one. Are you regretting not doing the pack check at the parking lot at this point? That's my first question. I mean, Derek's right.
It doesn't matter. We're in the battle.
It's brutal. I mean, I think it's hard to not like trust his track record though, because there's been times where like he has fallen behind. He usually catches up or passes everybody, or maybe he's like, "Oh, I was fishing for an hour," and then he'll still pass us. He'll still beat us to the place, right? So,
right.
I mean, he's that ridiculous. So, you know, maybe I need to wear socks that go past my knees or whatever he's got. I mean, maybe, I don't know if that's a secret, but
that's what it is.
That's got to be what it is. So, there's been a couple times where he wasn't. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like he was hiking, but maybe he got off trail. I want to say Maroon Bells, maybe or. Or was it a trip where he was descending or went somewhere, but he got off trail and got a little lost? Was that?
You just kind of lump all the trips together at some point. But yeah, it doesn't matter. He got off trail, he got a little lost.
He got a little lost, but I think the majority of the time he's okay. But I don't know this trail like where you guys were at, so I don't know if it was hard to get lost. If it wasn't, and you're sitting there for a while, I mean, geesh, I don't know.
Not super hard to get lost, but we already talked about how we shared about the old guy that did get lost earlier in the day on that same trail.
Yeah.
The guy in the sun that we had to give water to. So, yeah. So you're given scenarios. You're talking about regret. What do you do?
How far is your view? Like, how far can you see? Is it like...
Not very far.
I mean, I think I'd sit there and think, like, can I backtrack, no backpack, a little bit to a clearing where I can see really far?
Yeah.
Did Zach see anything? When did Zach pass him? I think I'd ask that if I can remember.
It had been a little while. But okay.
And then maybe, I'd probably then try to go back a little bit. I mean, with no backpack, but it would be.
I like your thinking.
I try to eat something, drink something, and then try to go back a little bit. Yeah.
Each step you take down the hill, you're just like, I know I've got to reclimb this step the second time.
Right.
So I'll just share. I did what you said. I left the pack. I hiked
down
the hill.
You got to leave the pack, yeah.
Yeah. And I ended up hiking on probably not quite a quarter mile.
Yeah.
But each step I was like slowly taking it, regretting each step, you know. So catch up. So Rocky's just grinding away up the hill, but even at that pace, he shouldn't have been that far behind. He wasn't like that, you know, hadn't left him for that long.
Right.
So I was like, Rocky, are you doing okay? He's like, yeah, I took my pack off. I sat down for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
I think I fell asleep.
Yes.
He took a nap while it was waiting for him.
That's so Rocky, though.
How awesome is that?
So
that's what you want, right?
That's great. That's fabulous.
So, yeah. Yeah. But I will say, roles reversed, Rocky would have come back for me.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I don't regret it. I mean, but it is ridiculous. He was taking a nap.
Well, it's going to, I mean, if you know Rocky, it's like, it's going to take like a tornado to stop him from coming up the hill. Like, he's got a lot of willpower and a lot of like just grind it out. So it would have had to be like broken ankle, broken something to slow him down. But, well, good. I'm glad you found him. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a second part of the story. While I was waiting for him, I don't think I've shared this with you or on the podcast.
Yeah.
While I was sitting there waiting for him, two guys are coming down the trail going like the opposite direction that I'm heading, carrying a whole bunch of gear.
Yeah.
And I was like, everything okay? And they're like, yeah, we're search and rescue.
What?
And I was like, search and rescue? They're like, hey, what's up, Carl? Good to see you again. And then they keep on going down the trail. And I was like, they were moving. And so I was like, wait, who are you going for? At first I thought it was that old guy, you know, from a previous episode we talked about. And they're like, oh no, some other guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's stuck way back there. So it wasn't Rocky, but it was just kind of funny that while I was waiting for him and
that
anyway.
That is hilarious.
Search and rescue again. Search
Your
and
buddies.
Rescue. Okay. Yeah. Last thing I asked him was, you know, from this experience, can you give me 3 tips for preventing this from happening? So here are Rocky type tips.
Yeah. Here we go.
I definitely have 3 tips to give myself for the next trip so that, you know, me throwing my backpack on the ground doesn't happen. Me having shoulders, you know, feel like they're not part of my body anymore doesn't happen. 3 tips. One of them is don't take on too much with football, because it always will take up way more time than I think it will. And that'll prevent me from being able to really think through my packing. 42 minutes of packing is obviously pathetic and embarrassing. We don't want to have to do that again. So tip number 2, regardless of how much football I take on, set aside some time on weekends just to pack, right? Even if it's only a half an hour. Now this year, our weekends were dedicated to helping my lovely wife out you know, with all these like small projects, nothing big, but just small projects we had around the house. So I would do those small projects for like, you know, what, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, somewhere in there. There's more time. Like, you know, I have the boys with me, but I've got to, you know, like just set aside more time to pack. Tip number three, have the boys, my sons, help me pack. It could be a father and son thing. It already kind of is anyway, except the only problem is I usually start when they're already asleep. So do some packing while they're awake, because they're usually pretty good about thinking through stuff, maybe even a little bit better than I am, even though they're way younger. Three tips. There they are.
Yeah, that was, Rock, that was a lot, I'm going to be honest. You got projects with the wife that I think Carl and I are hearing were, what, like, 3 to 4 to 5 hours, like those.
Not small.
Those
projects,
are not basically. Small projects. Those are like,
yeah.
Those are big projects. So
yeah, not multi-day projects, but still, that's some effort.
Yeah. I liked his idea though. He included, he's like, you know, I should just include my boys in the packing. I think that's a good idea. And my suggestion was like, why don't you, you know, being a teacher, you have a printer at your house. I'm guessing, print out the gear list. Have one of the kiddos read you what's on the gear list, and then you and the other kiddos can be like, let's go, you know, scavenger hunt or find these things in the garage and say, like, you know what? You know what? I don't need that. You just read that out loud. I don't need that. I don't need that. But you know, go down the list and, like, pack what you need. That would be a really cool experience.
Sounds like you're scolding Rocky right now. It sounds like
I'm giving him a family project. He's already doing wife projects. Here's a kid project. Boom. There you go.
Okay.
You know? All right.
Just to clarify, I'm not scolding Rocky at any point, because I think that even though this was ridiculous and we had some challenges here, and I've got a couple more stories to share that I think you're going to find pretty entertaining, I still look fondly back upon this trip. So
I'm sure you do. Yeah. All I'm saying is there's no scolding. I think it's more like, you know, rather than packing at midnight before, maybe make it a couple of Sunday fun days after church and be like, hey guys, you know, let's do this for an hour, a couple days a week, and then we're good to go.
And again, that could go back to the organization and having it
in a
bin or rack.
Yeah.
I think probably the best tip we've ever had on our podcast that can help a lot of backpackers out there is don't take on too much with football, is what he said. So for all the football coaches or players out there or future NFL stars, what have you, that's probably got to be a pretty large percentage of the fellow adventurers out there, right?
Yeah, so just go ahead and...
Don't take on too much of football.
Just cut back.
I think that applies more with Rocky.
Yeah.
I think football coaches in general take on too much, and they're pretty obsessed about the sport. Yeah. So good luck with that one, Rocky.
But side note, I am excited that he got the head coaching job of the Frost Shop team, right? That's cool. Yep. Congrats
Daniels
on that.
High School.
Yeah, congrats on that, buddy.
Congrats on that. So I think this is kind of more of like a self-reflection than an actual tip, but we appreciate it. So, Wow is all I got to say. So I'm going to share some things, some kind of the fallout of the 70-pound pack, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
Before this trip, I think it was before the summer, he had kind of joked about bringing a pack manifesto. Do you remember that discussion?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I don't know if that's an appropriate term. I know manifesto goes with like, or not manifesto, man, that's weird. Manifest. That goes with like an airplane kind of like list of passengers. So I don't know if that really, that's more of like a packing list, I think is what we're talking about.
You're on the right track. Yeah.
Yeah. Same genre.
We're in the body.
So anyway, he did not do that. And as a result, when you overpack, when you hoard in the backpack, you end up packing things that you actually have a need, but you just simply can't find, right?
Yeah. Okay. That's true.
So I think day two, Rocky says, hey, I forgot to bring a spoon or a spork.
Okay, here we go.
Carl, can I borrow yours?
There it is.
What do you do? This is like one of those things you don't want to share.
Well, that's why I always bring a spare.
Okay.
Automatic.
Let's pretend that you didn't. Would you share yours?
I mean, do I want to? Not really, but I mean, yeah, you want your buddy to eat. I mean, I guess I would be like, I'm going to eat. I'm going to make sure it's kind of clean, I guess. I'll rinse it off is all I can really do, right? Okay. And then,
so you're gonna share it.
I would do it. I would do it if I had to, yeah.
Okay.
What did you do? I
did. Yeah. He's my bud. He's one of my best friends. So without a doubt, without hesitation, I did that, okay?
Well, I mean, if you had some like germy gel or hand sanitizer, you could rub it on there and, you know,
You could, and then you put that in your mouth.
Yeah,
having just had hand
sanitizer. Yeah, don't rinse it off, but just put it in your mouth. Okay. Yeah, that's there you go.
Okay, here's All right, I'm going to further challenge you, all right, on the same topic. So we go through the trip. I lend him this, the spork I got, right?
Yeah.
So we have our big July trip, a week later in the Wind River Range.
Yep.
And in night one, we get to camp, and Rocky's like, hey, Carl, I forgot my spoon again.
No way. What? Come on. Okay, two questions pass my mind right now. Like, one, okay. Rocky, how long you been doing this? Better. Two, Carl, I expect you to automatically bring a second spoon at this point after that experience. Tell me you brought a second spoon.
This has never been a problem for me.
Tell me you brought an extra one. Tell me you brought an extra one.
I did not bring an
extra one. I knew it. What? Come on.
Oh my. This has never been a problem for me, but this might be this might be a future thing. So
I'm always bringing a spare.
So again, only person I'm doing this with, I lent it to him again, but this time it was not with as much joy in my heart, and I think you can tell. So I was like, "You got to be kidding me!"
Oh.
So here's the issue though: is he actually didn't forget it? He had it. He just
of course
he just had overpacked so much he just couldn't find it. He ended up finding it on day two or day three, I forget. But that's an issue of overpacking, because we talked about the Yosemite trip. He had 70-pound pack. He still had a 50-pound pack in the Wind River Range.
Oh,
so,
wow. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. He likes it heavy. Okay. All right.
There's that. Okay. So then next scenario, I'm really curious what you do here. So on day three, we got separated again. And so I sent Zach ahead again to this area called the Ten Lakes area. Okay. Which is a relatively large area. Good for camping. So we're really close to camp on day three at this point.
Okay.
We're just wiped out, like I shared, right? Okay, so the Ten Lakes area is so large that you kind of come into this kind of flat area of lakes, and then the trail continues, and it kind of meanders through this lakes area for quite a while, but it includes a relatively massive descent still in the same zone, okay? So I hiked through the main area. I didn't see Zach.
Okay.
I saw some other campers there. Zach's a new backpacker, man.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he knows to keep his pack on the trail to kind of signal like, hey, I found a spot over here. So he could have found a spot. Yeah, he could be ahead like after the steep descent.
Looking for a spot. Well, he could be looking for a spot.
So Rocky's behind me.
Yeah,
I just want to get to camp. It's getting dark at this point. Do you go down the hill assuming he's ahead, or what do you do?
Well, if I see other people, I'm going to say, like, hey, did you see a guy go by? That's the first thing I'm going
to
do. Like,
yeah, you see him kind of towards the beginning, so you don't think it's an issue at that point, so you'd have to backtrack to do
that. Okay. Well, yeah, I might. I mean, if I didn't really see anything or anybody, I'd probably backtrack a little bit and be like, hey, did you see anybody walk by here before me? If that's a no-go, what's off to the side of the trail? Is it a lot of trees? Is it a lot of places you can, like, hide? Or is it pretty
open? There's definitely camping spots, for sure.
Okay. I mean, that's just tricky. I mean,
I don't really know. This was hard, and I'm wiped out, so I do not want to backtrack even that quarter mile back to those campers. I'm wiped.
I think, do you just, like put your pack down somewhere in the middle of all of that on the main trail and just wait till Rocky catches up to you and then kind of track down Zach, and then maybe Zach's going to be like, where is everybody? Maybe I should go back out on the trail. So I might just park it in the middle of everything and wait for Rocky and then take it from there.
Okay.
I don't know.
And Zach was Rocky's buddy, just to clarify. So I didn't know Zach super well.
Yeah.
But after 3 days of hiking with him, he came across me as a pretty sharp guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the decisions that he made on the spot were pretty wise. So, and side note, he did help filter water, which was amazing.
Oh, you're stoked on that guy.
Yeah.
You can come to every trip.
Yeah, Zach's a thumbs up for sure.
Okay.
I was so tired, man. I didn't have that clarity of thought you just had. I like your solution. I just went down the hill.
Did you really? Did you find him?
I went down the hill and I was dreading it, and then I turn the corner around this boulder, and right next to the trail is a campfire going and Zach with his stuff set up.
Wow.
That was like one of the most glorious backpacking sets I've ever seen.
Oh, that's like,
I was like,
good for the soul right there.
Thank the Lord. Yeah, because he already has a fire going. He's already getting rid of some mosquitoes and stuff, and so, yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so that worked out, but that was like, I was like mentally, challenged at that point. So,
yeah.
Probably not the only time.
Tricky. That's tricky.
Yeah. Okay. Last scenario I've got for you that happened is final day. We only have 9 miles to go to the final day, but I'm trying to get out by noonish because I got a flight to catch and it's all the way, in Oakland.
I feel like you put yourself in this scenario a lot, though.
I told him, I said, if I got to ditch you guys, I got to ditch you guys. I'm not going to wait around because I want to make my flight. So, Right. Okay. So that was a real possibility. So our day starts by climbing a pass. We get to the top of the pass, and some of our phones start dinging. We're getting into cell phone range. Okay.
Oh,
and
okay.
You know what happens, man. When people get into cell phone range, they just can't help themselves.
Can't say no.
They can't say no. Right. So I stop, and I'm, you know, Zach and Rocky are checking their phones, and I got to go number two, and I take a while. And so I drop my pack, and I say, Rocky, please, please keep going. Don't wait for me. I don't know if I said it quite that way, but I told him, just keep going. Do not wait for me. Like, I want you to go ahead, because, you know, he was going so slow with the 70-pound pack. So I go to the bathroom. I take a while. I come back. He is sitting on the log staring at his phone.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
That's you know? Hey. Yeah. What are you thinking at that point?
I'm like, thinking, what the Rocky, jump? It's been fun backpacking with you. I will see you later.
Yeah. Peace out. Yeah. My trip. Yeah. So did you have to peel out?
Yeah. We had a long descent. We had some uphill left to go. We had a long descent. And so I took off and caught up to Zach. We got way stinking ahead of him.
So wait, did Zach keep going?
Yeah, so Zach listened.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So Zach kept going. You're like, hey, bye, Rock. Good trip. See you later.
Pretty much. I mean, that's kind of my attitude. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Get off your stinking cell phone.
Yeah.
And really, if people are staring at their cell phones, if it has to do with filming, that kind of thing,
right?
Fine. But I do get kind of annoyed with if we get into cell phone range. I'll be honest. That's like a pet peeve. Yeah. So. Anyway, so I keep going, and this is where Rocky has his resurgence. I think at one point he must have been running to catch up with us, but he ended up catching up, and it wasn't even that far down, like, after I caught up to Zach, and I was like, "That's here you go. You just can't count Rocky out, man. Just can't count him out.
So, he's got that second wind that just, like, you know, digs deep.
So we finished together and made the flight. All was well and good. And we have this 70-pound pack fiasco with a backpack hoarding to take away.
Yeah.
So there you go. So I think the big question is, like, what's the big overarching theme here? What's the big takeaway is we want people to not backpack hoard. But, Derek, what do you think a good standard weight for a backpack is? Like, not base weight, but all told, water, food for, like, a 3 to 5 day trip. What's the standard? You should keep your pack under what?
I want to say under, like, I mean, ideally, I would say under 30, but, like, if you can keep it under 35, I think that's fair.
Okay.
Under 35.
I'm going to say under 30.
Well, that's what I would.
I'm going to challenge everybody to keep it under 30 pounds, and I think, and we're going to do an episode this season where we are going to help you do that.
I think we should.
Okay.
I think we should. Because it will change your backpacking experience if you can regularly pack under 30 pounds. I mean, what are we packing in, Carl? Like 22 to 26?
It depends on the camera gear, but the trips that I was on this summer, everything was under 25.
Yeah, that is magical. After, you know, especially when you're going a lot of miles. So
for sure. So
we'll touch on that later this season for sure.
So I think it was good to kind of start things off this way because we were challenging everybody. Keep your pack under 30. Also, let's throw out this whole base weight concept because a lot of people overpack their food, they overpack their water, they overpack their fuel, so the consumables. Exactly. So that's kind of where we're headed with this. All right?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. That's good.
So
any last
takeaways from Rocky's hoarding?
Not really. I mean, the only thing you can take away from all this is, like, every time you go on a trip with Rocky, something crazy fun is going to happen. Some adventurous, you know, shenanigan.
This was hard for all of us, but I love the hard stuff, man. I savor it. So
you probably needed that, you know, because, like, a lot of our trips have been like 8 to 10 miles a day. Now you're doing like 15.
No, I push
you
a
like
bit,
it.
Let's
you
be
like it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and I'll share just a couple things that weren't mentioned as far as why his pack was so heavy. He wanted to film this trip, so he brought some camera stuff. That we didn't end up even filming, so that ended up being dead weight. And then he brought like a full size emergency kit that was just crazy, but he ended up using some stuff from that, so hard to be too critical there. But the food was a big one for sure. So
it always is. Yeah.
Okay. I've got some hoarding trivia for you.
Giddy up.
Coming up right after this.
Okay, what do you got for me, buddy? Let's see it. Let's hear this hoarding trivia.
Okay. So before we get to I want to change the structure of trivia a little bit for this season because we've thrown around a couple times, like, you know, what happens if, you lose more or win more trivias over the course of a season, and that just it doesn't pan out.
No.
Are you crumpling?
I was crumpling.
So I would like to challenge you, my friend. We got to keep track of trivia losses because sometimes.
Why is this? But why is this important?
Because I like it when things matter. I like when there's a greater purpose involved.
Okay, there has to be. And I'm competitive. Don't get me wrong, but like I feel like you need this. Okay,
not just true for trivia, but just in life. I like the greater purpose, my friend.
So it can't be just for fun. It's got to be more.
Both. It's both. Because the way my idea will keep it fun, but it will keep it real so that we can make this happen. So here we're gonna keep track of trivia losses. All right.
All right.
Here's what I propose. If I have more losses than you by the end of the season, then on the next trip that we go on, I will carry one of those like thermo flask clean canteens and fill it with an ice cream flavor of your choice.
Yeah.
I'll pack it in, I'll pack it out, and you get to eat ice cream in between.
And you are carrying my ice cream.
I'm carrying it.
I like
if
it.
I lose more trivias than you.
That sounds like a good deal. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Now, if you lose more trivias than me over the course of the season, I would like you to dress like a pirate for a couple miles on the trail.
Sure.
I will provide the eye patch, the pirate hook, and some sort of a fancy hat, perhaps some face makeup.
Fair.
And you can be a pirate for just a couple miles on a crowded trail.
On a crowded trail. Okay.
I mean, I don't. Not all the trails we go on are crowded, but on a section that we're more likely to see folks.
I feel like maybe. I mean, I like the ice cream, but maybe if we're going to be embarrassing each other, then maybe you need to dress up too in some fashion. So maybe.
So you would rather have me dress up than carry your ice cream, really?
Well, yeah. If you're going to get embarrassed, then yeah.
You think
for sure
you wore those rubber gloves last summer, the dish gloves, or last spring, and you were not embarrassed.
I'll be fine dressing up. I have no problem.
So then why is this embarrassing for you?
I think you will struggle with it.
I already have a history. I've dressed up like a dinosaur, and I've dressed up like a magician with the hat, the mustache, and all that stuff.
The magician's true. That's true. But the dinosaur is usually in private. There's nobody else around. Okay, so if I win, you're gonna carry my ice cream.
Are you okay with that?
Even though I'm not a big ice cream guy, I will eat it with.
I'll put anything that you want cold in there, man. Like a cold drink, whatever you want.
Okay, fair. And then if I lose the most or whatever, I'll dress up as a pirate for you and walk around for a couple miles.
If you want vegan popsicles, I got those for you.
No, you don't, but I'll find them.
Okay.
I actually, you know what they have now is vegan Kit Kats.
Okay.
I'm gonna track them down.
All right, I'll put those in a thermo flask. I don't know why you want that in there, but.
Well, I might just put those for myself, but I'll find something to put in that flask.
All right.
Okay.
So now we've added some tension to the trivia here, and
here we go.
Some good fodder for, yeah. And by the way, if anybody else wants to join us and play along with the trivia, and challenge a buddy, a friend, a spouse to win or lose this, and you want to carry ice cream for them, you want to dress like a pirate, we encourage that.
I think, do we need to decide what losing is and what winning is, though? Is it like, if I get two out of three?
Oh, yeah, two out of three wins, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here we go. Number one, for a four-day trip in the summer, if your pack is over blank pounds, you need to really reconsider your choices.
In the summer, if your pack is over blank pounds, you need to really reconsider over 30 pounds.
Yeah, we just said that. That is correct.
Yeah,
there you go.
That is correct.
Yeah. For a four-day trip, I agree with that. Unless there's some other issues going on where there's like a lack of a lot of water source or something. For your general trip, reconsider that. Even if you're carrying a bear canister, I would say. So.
Indeed.
What was the heaviest item in Rocky's pack that we have already previously discussed on this episode?
Why am I always forgetting this? The heaviest item was a 6-pound chair.
That is correct. Whoa. Yes. Whoa.
Whoa.
You've already won this trivia. Okay.
Woo! It's already good. Okay.
If somebody went through your house right now, what is one item they would say you hoard?
Ooh. Okay. I'll say this. I'll say medical supplies.
Okay.
I have a closet full of medical supplies. Yeah.
Okay.
We hoard them.
I'll tell you what.
Way too much.
I'll tell you what. Next time I visit, I will get rid of all of them.
No need. I'll probably use them. So. If you want some medical gloves or rubber gloves, I have plenty of those. You can borrow some. It's fine. You can open my ice cream with the gloves on. That'd be great. So your hands don't get cold.
Okay. You just said you don't need ice cream, but now apparently you have some in your house. Nice.
Well, we'll buy it. It's fine.
Okay. Congratulations. You have won the first episode of season 5 trivia, and you're setting the high bar. Let's be honest.
100%. All right.
High bar.
It's going to be go time. Here we go.
All right. Thanks to everybody for supporting us, for listening, for joining us for another season. If you're new to the show, we just hope that you enjoy and can pull some things out of this, whether it's just sheer mockery of Derek or maybe a few things to learn. But I don't have any big tidbits other than if you're looking for extra episodes, if you're looking for, you know, releases of videos earlier than anything else or even old episodes you can't find anymore, please check us out on Patreon. We are also starting to plan our Patreon trip for the spring. So that's all I got, my friend.
All right. Well, guys, it's good to be back in the fold of the B&B Podcast Season 5. Thanks for joining us. Check out Patreon. Links are in the show notes. Join us. Become part of that family as well. We will see you next time. Remember, if you get slowed down on the trail too far back, you want a friend that's going to go back for you. Carl. I want to fly. So, yeah, we're going to, I think that when Carl's telling me, he's like, what do I do? He acts like these are questions, like, for the episode. These are questions in life. Like, he's like, Derek, what do I do here? Derek, what do I do there? What would you do here? I don't want to say this out loud, but this is season 5. So I think we all are like family. Like, I'm basically his life coach. So, you know, he's my brother. I'm his life coach. We all need to find that person. Who's your life coach? It's not going to be Carl because he's going to be carrying everybody's ice cream by the end of this year.